Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies, theological reflections, and occasional talks by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, Pastor Director of the Catholic community. It is the 29th Sunday of Ordinary Time. The readings are from Cycle B.
A couple of people have emailed me wanting appointments and saying something like, "Oh, I know you're so busy because the school year's just starting." Starting? Yeah, it did just start. And it's also midterms. It's week 5. I mention that because it's week 29 in the church's calendar. It's the 29th week of Ordinary Time. And there are only 34 weeks. The days are getting shorter. There's an urgency in Mark's gospel because we're getting close to Jerusalem now. All the action that's going to take place in Jerusalem, we're right on the cusp. There's not time to be stupid. You got to get with the program and understand what Jesus is doing and where he's leading us. And there's a sense of urgency about it. So here's what I need from you. I need the ones on this side of the church to look this way, and the ones on this side of the church to look back at them this way. Okay? So if you're listening on the podcast, I've got all the people in Memorial Church staring across the aisle at one another. Okay? You are on one team. You are Team Go. You are Team Stanford. Which team are you? Okay, that's enough. Little bit of energy left from big game week, which came way early. I need to hear from one team or another. At the beginning of Mark's gospel, Jesus is baptized in chapter 1. He comes up out of the water and he hears a voice and it says what? All right, that's all from the Go side. And you almost had it exactly right. It's not, "This is my beloved son." It's, "You are my beloved son." In Mark's version, Jesus, the first thing that he hears right out of the gate is a voice that speaks inside of him. It's not a proclamation. It is in Matthew, which is where you're getting that. In Matthew, it's a proclamation. "Now hear this, everyone. This is my..." No, in Mark, it's a voice inside him that speaks to his heart and says, You're my kid. You're my child, and I am wild about you." Now, Go team, Stanford team, every individual in here, have you heard that voice speak to you? Got quiet. Nobody can do this for you. Have you heard that voice speak to you? Do you know that you are loved and that God is wild about you? If you're shaky on that idea, this is a prerequisite to the following of Christ. You got to know that first. So now hear this. God is wild about you. I'm a preacher. I'm authorized to speak for him. God is wild about you. Even if you've been told other messages, God loves you specifically, not just you generically or because it's his job. God just loves you because you're lovable and God can't help but love you. Jesus heard that very early on. Now from here I'm going to go on. I'm borrowing really heavily this weekend from a scripture scholar, theologian, and best of all, storyteller. His name is John Shea. Do you know, at the beginning, well, I'm not going to tell you where it is. Here's where I need you. Go team, Stanford team. Here's your next question. You remember the story of the parable of the sower and the seed that falls in different places? The seed fell in 4 different places. Where did it fall? Talk amongst yourselves. I need all 4. The seed fell in 4 different places. Where did it fall? When you got it, stand up. Let me know. Leo thinks he's got it. He's brilliant. Anybody else? All right, Leo, go.
Seed fell on the path.
It fell on the path.
Rocky soil.
Among thorns. And on good soil. Come and sit in the front. Head of the class. The seed fell in four different places. On the footpath, where the birds of the air came and ate it up, it had no chance. Jesus said, some people received the word of God like that. It's gone before they even knew it was there. Most of the people in the story that are like that are the ones that come from Jerusalem. They're full of something else, and they're not able to hear the word. But then, not all the seed falls on the footpath, because some of it lands on the rocky soil. Somebody other than Leo, tell me, what happens when it lands on rocky soil? What happens? You know this. Yeah.
It sprouts and starts to grow and then withers and dies.
It sprouts, it starts to grow, it looks so great and so promising, but it doesn't have depth and it withers and dies. All right, I'm going to come back to that idea in a little bit. We had footpath, rocky soil, thorny, it falls among thorns. What happens to that? It gets choked, and Jesus goes on to say it gets choked by what? All right, I'll tell you. It gets choked by worries and cares of the world and wealth. Right? All right, then there's one last one. The what it's called, the good soil. What happens there? It flourishes, it grows, it yields 30, 60, 100 fold. Wonderful. All right, back at the beginning. We already heard about the footpath. Some of the seed falls on rocky soil. I learned from John Shea that he thinks that the whole gospel, that story is at the beginning of chapter 4. It's right at the end of the first quarter of the gospel. And the rest of the gospel is going to be informed by that one story. It's not just a story like every other story. It's the template story inside the gospel. And the rest of the story as it unfolds is all going to relate back to that. You're going to meet people who, in fact, are the footpath people. You're also going to meet people who are the rocky soil people. And you know who they are? This is crazy. It's the people that are at their nets, who drop everything they're doing when Jesus says, follow me. They did, immediately. They dropped everything and they followed him. And it looked really promising at first. In fact, Jesus looks at one of them and says, your name is Simon. But from now on, I'm going to call you, do you remember what he calls him? Peter, a name which means rock. I'm going to start calling you Rocky. You're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, but that's going to come a lot later, because right now I'm calling you Rocky. Right, he takes Peter and the guys that show up today, James and John, takes them up on a high mountain, remember? And while they're there, he suddenly is transfigured. He turns all white and glowy. And next to him are Moses and Elijah, who've been dead for centuries. And he's talking back and forth to them, and they're just nuts. They want to build booths, tents, and stay here. This is great. They get to the bottom, and Jesus says, oh, I'm so glad you were there for that. Now I can tell you who I really am. I'm on my way to Jerusalem, and there they're going to beat me and arrest me and kill me. And then 3 days later, I'm going to rise. And you remember who speaks next? Rocky. The rock is going to speak up and he's going to say, Jesus, follow me right this way. He takes Jesus aside, the text says. So who's following who? Right now, Rocky is going to take the lead and show Jesus what he ought to be doing. Recognize yourself in this picture? Nobody? Don't you ever tell God what to do? Well, step right this way. Don't you dare do that, what that thing that you said you're going to do. And then what does Jesus say to that? You knew it. Get behind me, Satan. For now you're not speaking God's words, you're speaking men's words. Rocky gets called Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Well, now, James and John, who were also up there on that mountain, they show up in the story today. And they just come out with this great line. Hey, Jesus, we want you to do exactly as we say. Isn't that great? We want you to do exactly what we tell you to do. Jesus plays along, like you are, and says, what is it you want me to do for you? We want backstage passes. We want to be on your right and your left when you come into your glory. Give us the best two seats. That's all we want. We just want the best two seats. Jesus simply says, you don't understand what you're asking. Darn it. You don't have a clue about what you're asking. They're thinking of a throne room, and they're thinking of domination systems. And if somebody's going to do the dominating, you want to be one of the dominators. I want to be there in the throne room where the orders get given. But there is going to come a scene where Jesus is in the middle, and somebody's on his right, and somebody's on his left. Do you have that picture in your mind? Where is it? Oh my God, it's on Calvary. Yeah, there's going to be somebody on the right and somebody on the left. Is that what you had in mind? You don't know what you're asking. Because I'm not here to accumulate more and more honors or more and more followers just so that I can be more and more famous. I'm giving my life away. And I'm inviting you to give your life away, because remember what a seed does. The seed gets sown in the soil so that it can decompose. The seed cracks open. And when once it's cracked open, it can become that, I think you used the word thrive. And it can feed others, but only after it's broken open. And it's not just looking out for number one. The seed breaks open. Last week, if you recall, there was a man who runs up to Jesus and says, Lord, what must I do to inherit everlasting life? You remember, if you were here last week, I preached on that. What can I do to inherit everlasting life? Because he just wants to grab it. He wants to accumulate it. He wants more and more things, and why not have the best thing, which would be the everlasting life? So tell me what I've got to do to grab it and possess it. And Jesus, it says, looked at him with love. Jesus said, well, you follow the commandments. Oh yeah, I've done that for a long time, but I don't want just what everybody has. I want the best. I want extra credit, AP courses, tassels, stars in my crown. I want the best. And Jesus, it says, looked at him with love. Can you imagine Jesus looking at you with love? I hope that someone sometime looks at you with love and sees behind your eyes, sees into your soul. If anyone has ever looked on you with love, go back to that moment and savor it and imagine Jesus doing that, looking at you with love and saying, oh, yes, that's great. However, there's one thing you haven't done. And since you want the best, here's this one thing. Do you remember? I know you do. What did he say? Uh-oh. What did he say? Go, get rid of everything. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and then come follow me, because I want to give myself to you. I want to give myself to you. Leave behind everything, because I want to give myself to you. But the guy goes away sad because he had many worries and cares and stuff. He's the one that fell in the thorns. It was going so well, but it got choked off. Next week, there's going to be a little guy that's beside the road, and he's blind, and he's going to shout, "Jesus, have mercy on me," and Jesus will call him over, and I won't spoil it all for you, but he's going to call him over, and Jesus is going to say this phrase again. You just heard it today. "What is it you want me to do for you?" And the guy is going to say, "I just want to see again." He's not looking ahead to glory and best seats. He just wants to see what's right in front of him. And that makes him ready to be good soil, because he can see what's right in front of him. And if you and I see what's right in front of you, we don't wonder about if there's a God. We see God all over the place because we have eyes to see and we can see what's right around us. And when the Lord told us the most important thing to do is to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and oh, by the way, love your neighbor as yourself, when your eyes are open, you can see your neighbor. You can't see your neighbor with your eyes closed. So throughout this whole gospel, I think John Shea just is onto something really terrific. Even Peter, rocky. "Yes, I'm going to build my church on you. And for right now, you're rocky soil. But when someone looks at you with eyes of love, they can see through the rockiness of you. And they can see through to all the potential that you have. And they know that you can have your eyes open. And they invite you to do that. And they'll break your heart. They'll invite you to be broken open and to give yourself away. And you'll want to. And you'll want to serve. And you'll forget about which status you have. You'll be so in it and so conscious that you're loved and so ready to give yourself away that you'll never again want to grasp or gain against someone else. We'll be really on our way. And Jesus won't ever have to tell us again, "You don't know what you're asking," because we'll know what we're doing. We're following the one who loved us from the beginning and will love us at the end and beyond that.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic community at Stanford University. Producer Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP, with our pianist Albert Tommaso and percussionist Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices at the third floor of Old Union. For Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP, this is Nancy Pham. God bless you.